Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Come on yourself, Anton. How's it going?
Only flying, Dave.
Only flying. How's life with you? By the way, are you a fan of singers? Do you like singing? Do you like people who sing? Do you have famous rock singers?
Are you coming on to me?
But I'll tell you, Jack Gale will be in about half an hour. We're going to do a lot of time here about singing this afternoon, as it has been other things for the last few weeks. So you have to give me your favourite singers before the end. No, sorry. You have to text it into 51552. Anyway, you're not here.
Well, I'm going to tie in with one of yours. I still think Joni Mitchell is up there. You got to have Joni Mitchell in that list.
Well, I would, and most definitely, but she's such an acquired taste, I think an awful lot of people can't stand her, but there you go.
She's fabulous, fabulous, yeah. No way around it. And lyrically, I mean, that line of I could drink a case of you, there are very few lines.
And I would still be on my feet.
Yeah. I would still be on my feet. So do you know who else I think, who is a vastly underrated man, and I know this will also tap into you because you're a big fan of this. The lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies.
The lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies. Oh, my God.
The lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies. And not for for Superman.
Yeah, I was just going to say Yeah, exactly.
No, because Superman never made any money from saving the world from Solomon Grundy. What a lyric.
Hold on a second.
Anyway.
Who is the lead singer with the Crash Test Dummies?
So, moving on, Dave. We have this week the best deviation between headline and first paragraph in any news story that I think has ever been printed. Okay, so I'm going to give you the headline.
You mean like a kind of a disassociation, a dislocation, like one doesn't really follow from the other? Is that what you mean?
I wouldn't go so far as a dislocation. I'd go more with the dissonance.
Right, okay, fair enough. Well, let's give us an example then and we'll see.
It's almost harmonic. It's of the same chord, but it's a different note and it changes everything significantly. So, the headline.
Yeah.
Nevada woman breaks into dentist's office, pulls 13 teeth from patient.
What?
Now, that's bad enough in and of itself.
Is she a
headline,
dentist in her spare time?
No.
No.
Nevada woman breaks into dentist's office, pulls 13 teeth from patient. That's the headline. Now, let me give you the first paragraph. A Nevada woman broke into a dentist's office, stole money and pulled 13 teeth from an unconscious patient on two separate occasions.
Was it the same patient and was it 13 teeth each time?
That's why I was like, surely when you wake up and you're missing, I don't know, 7, 6, whatever she did the first time, you think, I'm going to get me a different dentist. It turns out that whoever writes the first paragraphs for foxnews.com may not be the clearest. She broke in twice, did the tooth removal on one of the occasions, but stole money on both occasions.
Do you remember we had the guy on the porch about a year ago, 6 months ago, who did some sort of root canal or something under the eaves or something? What did he do?
You love this guy. This was a dentist, a former dentist, as it became after the story broke, who did a root canal on his back porch, I think in Louisiana. Now, that may just be my latent desire that if anybody's doing a back porch root canal, it should be Louisiana. But when he was brought up in front of the medical board, he, I think, more or less said, hey, look, my back porch is aseptic. There was no risk in this. So they suspended him for quite some time.
But yeah, he was doing surgery on his porch. A few weeks after that, you had the guy on the hoverboard taking teeth out. Or was it a skateboard?
That is correct.
Do you remember that?
How do you remember this stuff? Yes, there was a dentist who did. He posted a YouTube video of himself doing dental surgery while on a hoverboard and again got into trouble despite him saying, I'm very good on the hoverboard. There's no reason I shouldn't be able to do this. But do you remember? I think this led us to the operation with the worst mortality in human history.
And if it did, I can't remember the answer.
300% mortality from one operation. A man in London in the late 1800s who was famous as being fast, which is what you wanted pre-anesthetic. You wanted your surgeons to be fast. In this instance, he and this is when they do it in theatres with people looking over bleachers at them. He did it so fast that not only did the patient die, but he severed the vein of a helper who also died. And one of the people watching this bloody mess unfold died of a heart attack in the stands. So three people died from one operation.
There you go. That's the 300%. I get it. All right. Okay. So anyway, this woman broke into a Nevada dentist's office and she pulled 13 teeth from, I presume, a guy or somebody who was under anaesthetic of some sort.
Well, it's hard to make out because there's still some sketchy details. But as far as I can see, she gave the anaesthetic to the patient. And the anaesthetic that she used, because it says that she used anaesthetic that had been disposed of by the dentist. So this woman,
hold,
first
hold
wanted,
a second. So the guy came in and sits in the seat. Where was the dentist? I mean, did she have enough time to do all this that there was no real dentist there? I don't get it.
We're going to have to wait for the daytime movie, Dave. There is a lot yet to be answered. First of all, let me help you out a bit. This was an inside job, both literally and also literally, in that the woman worked in the dentist's office. So she knew her way around. I assume maybe she knew when breaks were, all the rest of it. She sequestered a load of thrown out, anesthetic that was either out of date or was left over in vials. Somehow she seems to have finagled herself into the confidence of this patient and anaesthetized them, and while anaesthetized, yanked 13 teeth out.
But like, this is an extremely difficult thing to do. Like, thus the phrase, I suppose, it's like pulling teeth. But I mean, you know, the extraction process, there's ligaments and bone tissue and root canal stuff and x-rays and elevators and forceps and enlarging sockets and things. How could she possibly, I don't get that. I don't get it. It's like a first time.
How do you know, Dave, that there's elevators, forceps and enlarging sockets?
Because
involved.
I remember the movie. What was the movie where your man...
Little Shop of Horrors?
No, Keanu Reeves...
Marathon Man.
No, not Marathon Man. No. Is it safe? Is it safe? Sir Lawrence to poor old Dustin, and all he had to do.
Do you know the
act.
Story of you know? Oh yeah, you do, yeah, know the story. Yeah, the one of running around.
Have you tried acting, my son?
Hey.
No, but hold on. Where were we? Yeah, no. Keanu Reeves was a dentist.
You were running through every movie that's ever had a dentist.
Yeah, dentist.
Keanu Reeves
was
a dentist.
It was the one. Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Nobody would believe that.
Wait a minute. Up in the Hamptons. What was that movie called? Something's Got to Give, or one of those movies with Jack Nicholson in it, with them. Whatever, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was a dentist.
Is it Al Pacino? Is it The Devil's Advocate?
No, it's not Al Pacino, The Devil's Advocate. No.
I
had an amazing interview with Keanu Reeves about that movie, and we got into an argument, a kind of a playful argument. It was one of the best interviews ever. He just jumped up out of his seat and said, "Yeah, but what if blah 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 blah?" Hold on a second, you know. It was great.
I just wanted to walk you through one aspect of how your brain works. You can remember that 9 months ago I told you something utterly inconsequential about a man doing a root canal on the back porch in Louisiana.
And
you can remember every aspect. But you had, and I quote, an amazing interview with Keanu Reeves about one of his films, and you have no recollection what film it was.
Oh, no, I do. Hold on a second. It was The Devil's Advocate.
I said that. Where is the frigging dentist in The Devil's Advocate?
I didn't say there was a dentist in The Devil's
you
Advocate.
You did.
Said, no.
You specifically said Keanu Reeves was a dentist.
No. Yeah, Keanu Reeves was a dentist. He was a dentist in Something's Gotta Give, or one of those movies with Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton or something in the Hamptons where they're all rich, and he was an executive for a rap label, and he was a pain in the neck. And
Your Devil's Advocate story is completely unconnected to what we were previously talking to. This isn't even tangential.
Yeah,
it's absolutely discreet.
Not. And also, in fact, Also, I once interviewed him in Hamburg as well for the Matrix Part 3 or something. And he was there with Carrie Ann something or other. Anyway,
and did you mention to him your previous wonderful interview about The Devil's Advocate?
No, he mentioned, it's your man again, the Irish guy.
Dave!
Anyway, where were we? Anyway, so did she get into trouble, the Nevada woman who broke into the dentist's office?
Oh, I think she is, to use a technical term, she's screwed. Yeah, right. She's going to be up for some form of assault. There's theft, there's larceny, there's doing medicine-y stuff without a license. I'm sure there's a more technical term, but that is the charge.
Dreadful.
So she's facing somewhere between 2 and 20 years and $50,000 worth of fines, and life is going pear-shaped anyway.
Okay.
Although
right.
I have to say, the remarkable bit of it is if you see pictures of her, she looks far more like the kind of person who would rip off a dentist's office than the person who, if you were in the dentist's office, you'd say, sure, inject me with something.
Oh,
so
right.
How she pulled it off is remarkable, but she did. In other news. An Irish gymnast has jumped on an Olympic Village cardboard bed to debunk anti-sex fake news.
Did anti-sex fake news need to be debunked, yeah?
Oh yeah, you can't have anti-sex fake news floating around with it unbunked, Dave.
And there's no joke in the word bunk here, is there? No.
There could be, but we are both bigger men than that would make such a joke. So Reese McClenaghan, who is from Newton Orange, he is in the Olympic Village and a possible gold contender, and we wish him well and all who sail in him. But he decided that it was up to him to debunk the notion that the Japanese organizers had provided cardboard beds so as the athletes would not knock boots.
Right. Okay. So, like, these
junk
beds.
Bones.
Okay.
Bump
so,
uglies.
Okay. Okay, so okay, fair enough. Okay, so the beds are great, is what he's saying.
Yes, the reason that they're made out of cardboard is because Tokyo is trying to push recycling and therefore they're going to be turned back into paper at the end. Now, there was a notion that said that they were, that they had made them out of cardboard so that any sudden movements would cause them to collapse. I don't, like, that was ridiculous in the first place, because if you look at the spectrum of Olympic athletes, you get into the hammer throwing end of that spectrum, you need a fairly beefy bed to put those athletes on. So there is no way that a little gymnast bouncing up and down would apply the same force as an Olympic weightlifter just lying there, and the beds have to cope with all of this. So no, it was
so you're saying painless. That this exercise in sustainability and eco-friendliness and all the rest of it is great for the Irish gymnast but not great for the shot putter.
I'm saying that had it been an exercise in being anti-sex, wherein it was designed to collapse under significant force, the people in the larger spectrum of athleticism, which are, and I mean them no disrespect by this, the weightlifters, the shot putters, the hammer throwers, the beefier end of your track and field athlete, well, they wouldn't have been able to use these beds. And that's not the case. The beds are perfectly good, as has been proven by Reese McLenahan. It does, however, raise an interesting thing about mattresses.
Okay, I'm going to I'm just about to pour myself a cup of coffee. Go on, tell me about
you work away. I'll talk mattresses. You have your
mattresses.
Coffee.
Go on.
Well, I many years ago talked to a man who was very senior in IKEA.
Mattress
and I
Mick.
Find like not Mattress Mick. No. Although Mattress Mick is expanding. Big news this week.
Really?
Yes.
She go on
a responded. He responded to himself in a tweet saying this, which is one of the more meta things that I've ever seen.
He responded to himself in a tweet.
He did. So, one of the interesting things about man from IKEA. Yeah. I talked to him. I'm very interested in IKEA. That's my own damn business. I have no dog in this fight, but I just think they're a very interesting crowd. So
I milked
this chap for all that he was worth when I got to talk to him.
Yep.
So I said to him, what's the story with the things that you sell in different jurisdictions? Is it all the same? And he told me a couple of interesting things. He said, first of all, you know how many meatballs IKEA crank out in a normal year? Just individual meatballs. Guess.
They crank them out in an individual year. 4 million.
No,
yes.
Way more.
No.
Guess again.
42 million.
I would ask you to guess again, but you're guessing at such a slow rate of increase it would take too long.
Okay, half a billion.
No, double it. A billion.
Really? Wow.
They do a billion meatballs in a given year. So he said, one of the other things he said was the balloon.
I mean an IKEA
meatball.
I've never had IKEA meatball.
You pop it into your social diary. You set aside a little bit of time. I'll take you out to Ballymun. Two of us will have a meatball. You'll love it.
Yeah, do you remember like when Spotlight magazine was around and Larry used to do it in the video? And now here's some dates for your dancing diary.
Oh, yeah. You pop meatballs in your dancing diary and I'll even get you a little vegetarian hot dog if you're very good and possibly an ice cream. So,
okay.
He also told me that the balloon whisk is not universal, which I was surprised by. There are some cultures which don't use balloon whisks at all. But the thing that he told me that I thought was most interesting was that mattresses increase in girth as you travel west. And that more or less Europe is kind of the median point of the globe's mattress.
So does that mean they get bigger or wider?
Thicker.
Thicker, yeah. Okay.
Thicker. So if you're in Asia, your mattress is a little thing barely bigger than a sheet. You know, it wouldn't give you any real support. You then get to us and we're the Goldilocks of mattresses. And then as you travel further west, you get to America where mattresses are 2.5 feet thick and just ridiculous. There you go. The mattress is not a universal thing. It the further west you go. Now, obviously, then the dateline, it resets back to Japan and the whole process begins again.
I didn't know that.
I know. So, on the subject of IKEA, Swedish prisoners have taken guards hostage and demanded pizza as a ransom. You take your coffee. Don't let me rush you, Dave. Could you, like, when I go, so the likelihood is that there's going to be two sentences. Start drinking coffee on the so.
On the
okay,
so, yeah.
So exactly. Swedish prisoners
embraced well with a lot of people. I mean, like, I remember.
It has.
Will I drop another? No, I won't drop another name. But anyway, I remember Madonna being interviewed by someone, and
of course, you do.
The question was blah 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 blah. So, whereas everybody else goes well. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
You were drinking coffee on my soul.
Yeah.
So, Swedish prisoners take guards hostage, demand pizza as ransom. Coffee down, supplementary question.
And did they get the coffee? Or did they get the pizza?
Yes, they did. Good. They did, because the Swedes are, as you know, intrinsically practical. So this was two Swedish prison guards were held hostage for 9 hours on Wednesday by two inmates who demanded pizza as a ransom. They were inmates in the Holby High Security Prison near the town of Eskilstuna, and they managed to force themselves into a guards area, held the guys hostage, and when they got their pizza, they let the hostages out.
I remember we had a thing on the programme with you before about pizza, and I remember I asked you the question, there's a pizza month. I think I remember which month it is. Like, a certain month is pizza month. Now, you've got 12 guesses. Any idea which one?
Do I remember which was
World
pizza
month? Yeah.
I'm going to say September.
No, you're one out. It's October. Hard luck.
What are the chances of me being one out? One in a million, what? So the UK are going to ban boiling lobsters alive in a landmark bill.
Oh, right, because they're sentient beings like us.
They are sentient beings like us. Right. Yes, they are. And this is one of those where you'd like to crack a load of jokes about, oh my God, it's crazy. But it's actually a very good thing, because as ways to go, being boiled alive is not nice.
No, that is true. Absolutely not.
And they've done studies on crustaceans. I remember reading a study about a crustacean where they looked to see whether or not crustaceans could feel pain. Now, it's quite a tricky thing to do if you think about it, because you can establish some things have a stimulus response, but that doesn't mean that they can feel pain. So, for instance, if you touch the inner, mouth of a Venus flytrap, it'll close. But is that because it's sentient and it feels, ooh, that might be a fly, or just because it's a stimulus response? So the fact that the stimulus response does not mean that there is sentience. So they did this test where they rigged up electrodes and they had a prawn reach for food, which was electrified. And when the prawn reached with its little claw, it went, ah, and withdrew. But what proved that the prawn could feel pain was that when offered food from the same source again, the prawn went, you can stick it, lads. I know what happens there. Wow. And it wouldn't eat again from it.
Right, I see. So they had to torture one in order to prove something, which I suppose, you know, is good for all. He took one for the team.
To quote the great philosopher Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one or the few.
Indeed.
Well, I don't know why they added the few.
I'm actually very glad to hear that. I think it's a good thing. It can be very upsetting to go into a place and you see that kind of thing going on. It can ruin your meal then, whether you have one or not.
At the Tokyo Olympics, we are returning there. The Olympic athletes are being given condoms and warnings not to use them.
And therefore, begs the question, why are they being given condoms?
Well, it seems to be that the Tokyo organisers want to promote safe sex, but they also want to promote proper COVID social distancing. And they got caught in a quandary as to which should take primacy. So they decided to go with both.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of silly, all right. Yeah. So they're against, they're against kind of... people, you know, getting on one-on-one philandering,
Exactly. Apparently, since the 1980s, organisers have given out hundreds of thousands of condoms to athletes at all the Olympic villages. In this instance, there were 160,000 condoms to be handed out to athletes in the Olympic village. But because of COVID-19, they are being handed out with a message that says, please take these home as souvenirs of your trip. I went to Tokyo and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Do they have loads of them? Have they made loads of them?
160,000, which raises the prospect.
Right.
I have to say, I don't know about you, but the thought of elite athletes involved in lovemaking just seems so exhausting. Like, could you imagine that level of fitness put together in a cardboard bed? It doesn't bear thinking about, Dave.
No, it's probably not.
Hamsters on a wheel.
Is that the end? I get the impression you've no more to say by the way you're dragging
Hang on, let me just take some of my coffee. Bye, Dave.
Oh, you are finished. Oh, my God. For the first time ever, I've been caught unawares. Okay, don't forget to text in your favourite singer, 51552. Okay, that's what we're going to be doing next with Jack Ellie. Are you ready for this?
Me? Yes. Sure. Go for it. Have at it. I don't care. I'm done. I'm off.
See you. All right. Good luck.
Bye, Dave.
Bye.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.